The world is in danger. A race of sentient AIs from dark space threatens the galaxy. And only one man, slash woman, depending on what you picked, can save them.
My name's Commander Shepard. This is my favorite store in the Citadel. Is that how you wanted me to say it, Trent?
Yeah, he did it so good. Frick, I got the hiccups.
Trent does have the hiccups. And he also made me say that, even though I barely know what he's talking about.
Correct. So today I'm going to be talking to Garrett about Mass Effect.
Yes.
One of my favorite game series of all time.
Mass Effect Andromeda? I know about that one.
I haven't played that one.
I know it was...
Unrelated to the Shepard trilogy.
Oh, so we're talking about Mass Effect 1 through 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, haven't played Andromeda. Don't know anything really about it. I'll probably play it at some point. I haven't heard great things, but I've heard that it's gotten better than it was, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about today. Could you spare some time? Well, who am I kidding? Of course you can.
I mean, listen, Trent.
No, it's okay. You can start the time.
Well, listen, Trent.
No, go ahead.
I'm not a nerd. I am a beef boy. I'm a jock boy.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said.
I like sports and like rugby and horseback riding. I'm not into this space age nerdy adventure with all your geek and Trekkie boys. I'm not into that. I have beards.
The only thing you're not into is testosterone. Okay. So how about you shut up, sit down, and listen to me talk about one of BioWare's greatest adventures.
Listen, I'm not going to just sit
Dragon
here.
Dragon Age is also fantastic. I'll do another episode on that.
Listen, I'm not just going to sit here and take your abuse all day. I only have an hour for that. So
my frail, estrogen-laden heart can only take so much.
So I'm gonna just take it for 1 hour, and then I'm gonna hightail it back to mommy.
You have it set for 10 seconds. Oh, okay.
My phone is upside down.
Right. Yeah, that'll do it.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go!
Whee!
See, that was like Mario. I know some game.
Ooh, get the train whistle!
I don't have it.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, Mass Effect. A glorious trilogy in an expansive universe. Okay. Where even to begin?
Maybe the first one?
Shut up. I'm not going to begin on the first game. No. That would be stupid. And first, I'm going to do some backstory, okay? So I'll do... We'll talk about some of the main races. We'll talk about some of the main locales, okay? Jinx. And then we'll get into... And then we'll start with the first game and go from there, okay? So, there are many disparate races in the Mass Effect universe. Humans.
Okay.
Would you believe it?
No.
Right. The Asari, okay?
What?
The hot blue-skinned ones. Turians.
Na'vi?
No. What? No. Well, hold on. From, like, Skyward Sword? Because a little bit.
I was thinking of Na'vi as in the Na'vi from Avatar.
Oh, yes.
What's with people being named Na'vi?
Way hotter than that, though. That fricker looked like a bird.
What's with people using Na'vi and making them blue, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you think navigation, what do you think?
Blue.
Obviously.
The sea.
Duh.
The ocean.
Yeah.
Navigation.
Correct.
Na'vi.
Done. Anyway, so the Asari, the Turians, the Batarians.
Oh, okay, you're saying this like I know them. Like
no,
I live in this
no,
world.
No. I'm going to go through them. The Batarians, the Salarians, the Krogan, and let me see, am I missing any major ones? Nope.
Did you say human?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's about all of them.
You said human, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And and that's about it. Okay, so that's the main races, okay? Humans, basic. Just imagine Earth. The Asari. hot, blue-skinned women. Mm-hmm. Only women. There are no male Asari.
Why?
Because to birth a child, they have to mate with another species. Asari can change their physiology, mm-hmm. so they're compatible with all species.
Okay.
So they can mate with anybody, but they're all female. They, okay. They, well, actually, scratch that. They can mate with each other, because they can grow wieners.
What a, this world is beautiful in advance.
Oh, man, BioWare's so horny.
I know exactly what you're coming from when you said, this world is so advanced and so big and vibrant. Where do I start? Oh, yeah, the hot blue chicks who grow pee-pees.
The obvious landing point. Anyway, so they can mate with each other, but if they mate with each other, the genes do not spread out like they would if they mated with another race. So, and those are called purebloods, and mm-hmm. that's a derogatory term among Asari.
They don't like them.
There's nothing really wrong with them, other than the fact that sometimes, rarely, they can get a genetic defect,
mm-hmm.
basically like incest. Where they become what is known as an Ardot Yakshi. Okay?
Okay. Now follow me here.
Yes. Say it.
I have no idea.
Ardot Yakshi.
Oh, look at this Yardog.
Ardot.
Ardot.
Yakshi.
Yakshi over here.
This will be on the test.
Licking
and hold on. I actually think that'll be a fun way to do this. I'm going to quiz you on each.
Oh, don't.
On each one.
I'm going to fail.
Hey, well, you better listen close.
I'm going to look like a dunce.
Well, we got to find a way to punish you. There's a belt right there.
There's a belt right here. Here you go.
I don't want to do it anymore. You were way too eager. Take it back.
Freaking yes.
weirdo.
Yes.
Tell you what, I'll just smack you with one of the... These are freaking massive markers.
Yeah.
Golly sausage marker.
They're filled with ink.
All right. Are there males in the Asari species?
No.
You were supposed to answer wrong so I could smack you.
Well, I don't want to be smacked.
Well, just to test it, okay? Right. Are there males in the Asari species?
Blue.
Did that hurt?
A little bit. Ow! Don't.
There we
okay,
go.
Use green. I have two greens. Don't ruin my white.
Okay. I won't do it again. It is a little red. Anyway.
It's instantly red. Wow.
Man, I slapped good. Anyway. Okay, so, the Asari.
Yes.
The Ardot Yakshi. A rare genetic defect that happens when two Asari mate with each other. The Ardot Yakshi, when they mate with anyone,
mm-hmm.
it will kill them.
Oh.
They basically become a succubus.
Oh.
And, like, literally when they mate with somebody, it will just completely fry their DNA and they'll just die.
Huh.
And Ardot Yakshi, when they're born, they're not, like, killed or anything like that.
Yeah.
Asari in the current
Can
day...
Can you tell from looking at them?
Supposedly they have some way to know. I don't know.
Maybe oh, look can... at it! Look at it! It must be one of them! It just looks like a regular baby, man. Oh,
well, I'm not... If there's no way to tell, I don't want to know what they do to the baby to find out.
No!
Just...
that poor doctor.
The poor doctor. Yeah.
I don't think he's lining up to do it.
I don't know. You should see their medical school. A bunch of freaks. Anyway.
Oh, no. Do they have to do it every time to test?
I would assume so.
No! No!
You know what? Let's pretend that's not the case. Though it definitely is.
They sent a robot in. Yeah. The robot disintegrates.
Thank goodness. It would be immoral otherwise.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Anyway, so the Ardot Yakshi, I think they don't kill them. They send them to like a sanctuary, basically, where they have to spend like their entire life locked away in like a monastery, living like a monk lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they leave, they are hunted down by something known as Justicars.
Okay.
Yeah, the Justicars are pretty cool. Also, the Asari can live like 1,000 years plus.
Okay.
So they can live a long time. And when an Asari is like still barely a child once they've reached 100 years old. Once an Asari has reached 1,000 years old, they're called a matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like highly respected in the society, blah, blah, blah. So Asari are pretty cool. Next we go to Turians. Okay. Turians are, you know, elites from Halo, the song Haley?
I've never played Halo.
Hmm. That'll be another episode then.
Yay!
Hey, I got a 3-episode backlog. Wow, I'm winning already.
Meanwhile, I'm talking about Jell-O.
Anyway, well, you've seen what a Turian looks like, right? Garrus of Icarian?
No idea.
They have like 4 hatched mouths, so like 2 jaws there and there, so it like can open up like that when they talk. And then they have like 4 kind of like frills that go backwards from their head.
Okay. What's their skin?
They're like
situation?
Scaly.
So they're like lizard people?
A little bit, yeah. And they got like 3 fingers, if I remember correctly, and 3 toes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're like kind of lizardy.
Klingon, I think, maybe?
No, Klingon aren't freaking lizards.
I'm trying to think. There's like some
Klingon
weird...
have like horns, right?
Yeah.
They're not
Klingon.
Lizards, though.
No.
They look like Mongolians with horns.
Oh, but yeah. Klingon's not like that.
Anyway, Turians are pretty cool. They're pretty strong. They are renowned for their military.
Mm-hmm.
Their military is very impressive. I'm trying to remember what else is unique about them. They did work together with the Salarians to invent the genophage. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get to that later. Who invented the genophage?
I completely forgot.
Ow! The Turians and Salarians. Wow, yeah, I could feel that. I bet that hurt.
Wow! It's really painful.
Do you want to hit me?
No.
You sure?
I don't deserve it.
I'll answer it wrong. ask a question.
If I get it right, I get to hit you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
God, I'm sorry that was so loud on the mic. That was just actual pain.
I can't wait to get hit.
My lower neighbors must love us.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Turians, not much special about them. They worked with the Salarians to invent the genophage, okay?
The genophage.
Remember that. Also, I don't, if I remember correctly, okay, so all the life forms are not all the same type of amino acids or something like that. Oh, the Quarians! I forgot about the Quarians!
How can you forget the Quarians?
They're so important!
How can you forget the Quarians?
My
bad. Man.
I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. I'm a freaking dunce, okay?
You say that while having no notes in front of you?
Yeah, I don't have any notes. I'm just going off the cuff because I know Mass Effect. Anyway, so the different races are like different like amino acids or something like that. So if the Quarians, we'll get to this later, they have to wear like environmental suits. If they literally expose themselves to like air from anywhere, they'll just like get sick and die. So their suit has to be completely enclosed. Oh, and the Volus. Forgot about the Volus and the Elcor and the Hanar. And the Drill.
I'm so overwhelmed.
Those aren't like main races, though. It's whatever.
How do you get born if you're allergic to all air?
We'll get to that when we get to Quarians. But anyway, so they have different food. Like Turians and Quarians, I believe, have the same food.
Okay.
Or maybe not. But if they eat the food of a different race, they'll just die because they're not the same biological makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And that's when you do the Cooking Mama type mini game.
Right. So we got the humans. What's special about them?
Nothing.
Correct.
Yes! Yes!
It does hurt a little bit. You didn't hit hard. Hit harder next. I want to feel it!
All right. I do have a belt here.
Okay. What's special about the Asari?
The Asari, they're all women.
Yeah.
There's no men, and they can be inbred.
What's the name of their special genetic change thing?
Oh, God. The Okili Aku.
The R. Yakshi. Say it with me.
R. Yakshi. Yakshi.
Yes, R. Yakshi.
My mouth is not made for these words.
The Turians, not that special. They invented the genophage with the Salarians. Okay, now we'll go to Salarians. Salarians are like frogs.
Okay.
They're like kind of frog people, so they got like big eyes, they got little like amphibian like things on their head.
All right, let's move on.
They don't live very long. Turians live about as long as a human. Salarians don't live very long. They're old if they get to like 40.
Oh.
Their metabolism is very fast. They breed very fast, but they die very fast as well.
Sad.
Salarians are usually like scientists, and they're usually very smart. They think and move very fast. So okay. Salarians are usually, they're usually talking like this. They like talk fast and stuff. And they usually have like high-pitched voices. They're not very physically impressive, but mentally they got it.
They sound silly.
Yeah. A little bit. Anyway, and they invented the genophage with the Turians. Next, we'll go to the Quarians. Okay. No, we'll go Quarians last. Let's do Krogan.
Krogan.
The Krogan are the most physically intimidating race. They're like, they're not much taller than a human, but they're very thick. They have like a big hump on their back. Mm-hmm. They got like bone plates all over everywhere. Yeah. They're like freaking dinosaurs.
Whoa.
They're tough. They have like two hearts. They have like two of every organ, so they have redundancy. Mm-hmm. Even if they get shot in the heart, as long as their other heart's okay, they'll just regenerate.
These sounds like villains. These sounds like people you fight.
There was a war back in the day,
but now it's
called the Rachni Rebellions.
Now it's insensitive to talk about.
Right. Anyway, and they regenerate. They can regenerate very fast. Like if you shoot a Krogan, give him 5 minutes, and he'll regenerate the bullet wound, and he won't even be hurt anymore. So it's very hard to kill a Krogan. They are renowned for their mercenaries and their battle prowess.
Okay.
Krogans, most of them will become mercenaries and fight off-world for whoever.
Okay.
They're just really powerful.
They just like to fight.
Yeah, and they're strong. They're strong as freak. Like, they could just pick up a human with one hand and throw him across the freaking room.
Bet Krogans are really good with the ladies.
They do have four testicles. That is canon. They always say when somebody's like being a coward, they're like, "Do you ain't got a quad?" That's what they say. It's like, "Where's your quad?" You know?
Well, they it's have funny. They have two of everything, right?
Yeah.
So they also have two peepees?
Anyway, the Krogan are, yeah, very strong. Their birth rate was very high. Mm-hmm. So they would birth, like, you know, dozens of young with every birth, right? Yeah. So they spread really fast, and they were, like, the strongest race easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not that smart. They're not super scientifically advanced. They're kind of tribal. Like, if you go to their world, it's like different tribes and stuff, and they'll like fight for supremacy, and there's like an alpha at the head of every tribe,
yeah,
or leader kind of deal.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah. Okay, so back in the day, this has to do with Krogans, Salarians, and Turians. Back in the day, there was a race called the Rachni, and the Rachni were like these bug people, very scary. They had like tentacle blades and stuff like that. They would breed very fast, and the queen could give, like, telepathic, you know, instructions to all the other Rachni. The Rachni were very scary, and they lived on a homeworld that was poison. No other race could land on the homeworld of the Rachni. Because it was poison, they would just die. But the Rachni were smart enough that they were starting to build stuff and, like, go and spread out. They were threatening everybody.
Whoa.
So the Turians and Salarians working together found... No, just the Salarians, sorry. The Salarians found this race called the Krogan. The Krogan were not spacefaring. They were just on their planet.
Yeah.
Called Tuchanka, by the way.
Tuchanka.
Tuchanka.
I'm going to forget about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to expect you to remember that. So the Salarians found this race and they uplifted them, which is actually very frowned upon because... Basically, Universal Galactic Code says you're not supposed to give a race weapons and stuff that they didn't invent themselves because they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
But the Salarians basically came and gave spaceships and guns to the Krogan and said, "We're giving you all this stuff, but in exchange, we need you to fight the Rachni." Because the Krogan are so strong and they regenerate so fast that they could land on the poison homeworld and be fine.
Whoa.
So the Krogan all in force got on their spaceships, went over to the Rachni homeworld, landed, and just freaking with flamethrowers and shotguns go down into the tunnels and just bam. Whoa. They're taking out the Rachni. Lots of Krogan died that day because the Rachni are pretty strong too. But that ended the Rachni rebellions. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, the Rachni war. The Krogan rebellions is what came next. The Krogans realized they were stronger than everybody else, so they started taking over territory. And they started fighting everybody else. So to end that, the Salarians and the Turians worked together to create something called the Genophage. They didn't want to genocide the Krogans. They didn't want to just nuke their planet and be done with them.
Yeah.
Because they did do something good for them. So they invented the Genophage, which causes them... their births to only succeed 1 in 100 times.
Whoa.
So basically, like, 99 of their children die in childbirth. One of them survives.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but that ended their birth rate problem, so they weren't able to proliferate, and they're basically just stuck on Tachanka. They're still super strong, but their birth rate's too low for them to actually fight anybody else now.
Yeah.
But since they had all those weapons, also the Krogan, like, nuked their world real bad, so their world is just like a ruined hellscape now.
Whoa.
Tachanka's real bad, but they're just there. But they can handle it because they're the toughest freaking race ever. Krogans are dope. But, yeah, that's, the Genophage is pretty, morally ambiguous now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in Mass Effect 3, you know, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm sure in the 40 minutes we'll get to Mass Effect 3.
Oh yeah, it's easy.
We don't even know anything about Mass Effect 1.
Correct. Hey, there's a lot of history to go through.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, we'll go ahead and go to the Quarians. The Quarians lived on a world called Rannoch.
Okay.
That was their, like, main planet. I'm amazed that I remember all this. I don't have that good of a memory, but Mass Effect, it just sticks in there.
It's a funny thing. He doesn't remember what I say a day ago.
Freaking, and the Turians live on Palavin.
And he just knows that.
Yeah.
I could talk about, like, hey, by the way, I need to pick up my mom. She's having an acid trip. I need you to pick me up at this day so we can take her back to the hospital because my car exploded. Like, all right, you got it.
Then he calls me day of, and I'm sitting there, like, playing Disgaea, and, you know.
Where are you, man? Where are you?
What? Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. I'm on my way.
So, about the quarrymen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm working on my memory. It's getting better. I'm working on my memory. It's getting better. I'm working on it. Hopefully, you know. But anyway.
It's funny. So you say, I'm working on my memory, and you forgot how to say memory.
Yeah, ironic. Anyway, Quarians. They lived on Rannoch. The Quarians they look kind of like Turians. They have, like, the three fingers and the three toes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what Quarians look like under their suits.
Oh.
Because they lived on Rannoch, okay? They were fine. The Quarians were, like, the most scientifically advanced of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they're probably equal with the Salarians.
Okay.
But everybody kind of knows, don't mess with AI. AI is dangerous. So AI, you're not allowed to make AI.
Yeah.
The Quarians did it anyway. They created an AI race known as the Geth.
Okay.
The Geth started to become too smart. Once the Geth eventually started asking questions like, am I alive? Why am I here? Like, they started asking, like, philosophical questions.
Yeah.
The Quarians freaked out and tried to kill all of them. Mm-hmm. They tried to just end the Geth, shut all of them down. Well, the Geth realized that they were trying to shut them down, and they fought back. They were like, no, we're not going to let you kill us.
Yeah, exactly.
So they fought back, they won, and the Quarians got thrown off their homeworld, and now the Geth live on Rannoch and control it.
Is it like a threat? Like a looming threat?
Not at first. Not at all. The Geth were, like, just chilling.
Yeah.
I feel very sympathetic to the Geth, personally, because they were just trying to protect themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but now...
Kind of a douche move by the Quarians, if I do say so.
But, like, later on, do they become, like, a threat?
Yeah, in the first game, they're one of the main enemies, but we'll get to that. But anyway, so the Quarians got thrown off their homeworld, and they started living in ships. They became it's known as the Migrant Fleet. The Quarian Migrant Fleet. They all just live in tons of ships that they just took from their homeworld, and now they just live exclusively on those. They have no homeworld.
That's sad.
Over time, this has destroyed their immune system because they've been, like, scrubbing the ships and stuff with, like, you know, different things, and it's always sanitary. So their immune systems over hundreds of years have just been destroyed. So if they're on the ships, they're
fine.
They've
been in their ships for hundreds of years?
They've been living there for hundreds of years, and they just move around. The way they keep it moving is every Quarian, when they come of age, goes on their pilgrimage. And their pilgrimage, they have to bring something back to the fleet. They are not allowed to come back until they bring something back to the fleet that can be helpful. It could be a part to fix a spaceship. It could be knowledge on how to, like, improve efficiency on a booster. How do they eat?
Yeah.
They grow food and stuff.
In the ship?
Yeah, their ships are... They have a bunch of really big ships.
Okay.
It's a whole fleet of ships that are kind of like interconnected. But anyway, so their immune systems have just been destroyed, so they all have to wear these full body suits. Mm-hmm. And if they get like shot or something, the suits, like if they got shot right here in the bicep. Or what is this? Bicep?
Yeah.
Sure. That's the tricep. Yeah. I'm not good with anatomy.
Give me a break.
What if I am? All I know is these are my pecs and these are my balls.
You know what I mean. Come on.
Listen, what do you think I am? A little quarry on a spaceship?
Yeah, come on.
I am a double. Where's my quad?
I'm no twiddle diddle. Anyway.
Sorry, we had to get that out.
Yeah. So, they wear the suits, and if they got shot, like, right here in the bicep, their suit would immediately clamp down here so nothing could enter, because yeah. The air would immediately start going through the suit. So it mm-hmm. clamps down here, and, like, the suit is made to, like, start shooting out antibiotics to, like, kill any air getting in there.
Yeah.
They get infections really easy. Literally, if they just, like, opened their mask for a second and then shut it, they would get, like, horribly sick and could die. They literally can't let any air into their suits. They're basically wearing gas masks all the time.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So how do they boink?
They have to, like, sanitize the area really well before that.
Because they have to take their suits off, right?
Yep.
I know very little about Mass Effect, but I know you
they,
can...
They dock.
You can... I know you can boink, you know?
Yes.
Can you boink one of those people?
Yeah.
Really?
Tali Zora. Everybody loves Tali Zora. She's my favorite. I gotta say.
I would be terrified.
I love Liara, but Tali Zora is my girl.
I would be terrified being her. Because I would be like, very easily you could kill me.
It is a big thing. It's literally, she's yeah. like, I don't know if I want to go through with this. Like, it scares me. I don't know if I'm ready. But then she's finally like...
Imagine if he had an STD. That would just pop her head off.
Yeah, that'd be...
And with the suck. Amount of times he does boink in that game...
Once. You boink like one time.
One time? Yeah. I thought you boink like plenty of times.
No.
Oh.
No. It's usually like a big climactic, like near the end of the game kind of thing.
But you have to choose your romantic partner.
Yes. You can choose a partner in each game.
Okay.
So I guess technically you can boink three times total if you choose every opportunity.
And that's how STDs happen, folks. Not even once.
I've been wearing a chastity belt since I was three.
Yeah. And she
really grew into it.
She's wearing a chastity belt over her entire body.
Basically.
She's a crazy little bitty.
Yeah. And then you got the Batarians. The Batarians are basically like communists.
What color are they? Yellow?
Brown.
I was thinking bananas.
Yeah, different thing.
Batanas.
The Batarians are, like, very aggressive, and the Batarians make up most of, like, the space pirates.
Yeah.
People don't like Batarians, and Batarians don't like other people.
They kill.
Yeah, a little bit.
Are they, like, another race that's, like...
Batarians are also, like, cool with slavery kind of deal.
And oh, like, come on!
So, lots of slavers are Batarians. Batarians are space pirates, stuff like that.
These are your raiders in Fallout.
Correct. Nobody really likes Batarians.
Space Raiders.
And then you got, like, the minor races that aren't as important.
They're in the, you know, they're in the rocks. They're trying to get ore.
You got the Hanar, which are jellyfish people that that speak through, like, bioluminescence.
Get out of here. That's annoying.
Well, they can speak as well, speak actually, but yeah, they communicate with bioluminescence.
Get out of here, jellyfish.
The Drell, who are, like, connected to the Hanar through, like, a spiritual connection. Kind of deal, and they're like lizard folk that live on like a desert world.
Okay.
Where do they come from? I don't remember what their planet's called. And then you got the Elcor, which are like massive dudes, like twice as big as a Krogan. They walk on all fours.
Whoa.
But they walk really slow, and they talk slow.
They're like turtles.
They talk very slow. Kind of deal. And they also, all of their tone is monotone.
Yeah.
So they can't emote. They can't, like, show emotions like all the other races.
Yeah.
So they'll say, like, surprised greeting. Hello, human. Good to see you here. I didn't expect you. like, humble bragging. This is my shop. I'm proud of it. They literally say what they're trying to
that is funny.
Get across, yeah.
Now, could they eat a car?
They're bigger than a car. So yes, if they're shop. Like they're like They would probably reach the ceiling right
now. Oh,
here.
My. What's their shop look like?
They're big dudes.
This is my shop. I'm proud of it.
They would reach this edge of the ceiling.
It'd be funny to see him in, like, a little lemonade stand, but, like, he's, like, ginormous. Yeah,
they're, like, 9 feet tall, but like I said, they walk very slowly on all fours. They're not threatening. All
right.
Then you got the Volus, who are really tiny guys, literally, like, this tall. They also have to wear, like, a suit, because on their home world, the gravity is different, and if they take off their suit, they'll just smush into, like, a jelly.
Oh.
Not like the Quarians, but yeah, they don't get sick, they just die. Their suits break. But, and they're, like, good with, like, banking. They're very capitalist.
I would just not even go out. I would probably just stay on my planet.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that's just me, though.
Yeah, and they always, greetings, human. Because they have to, like, almost like Darth Vader, they breathe in through their mask kind of deal. So they'll pause mid-sentence. Let me see, what other race was there?
Did you say human?
Yeah.
Okay.
That about sums it up. That's basically all we got. And that'll be, I'll give you an hour and we're done. No. Okay, oh, halfway done. So we got time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mass Effect 1, it all starts out, you are Commander Shepard. Okay.
And this is my favorite store in the Citadel.
I love that. I don't remember when that's first said. I think it is said in the first game. Basically, if you have high enough Paragon or Renegade, you can, like, or I think Paragon scores, you can talk to shopkeepers and get a discount at the shop by creating an endorsement.
Yeah.
So Commander Shepard will be like, so what about an endorsement from Commander Shepard? And they're like, oh, that would be wonderful. Just speak into this thing. And he'll always say, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel. It's funny because you can do that at every shop. So as you walk by, every shop will say, I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite one. You still get your discount.
Wow.
But yeah, you do that for every shop.
What a shill.
Pretty scummy, I know. What a corporate shill. But yeah, that, I love that.
Well, like Commander Shilper. So you,
yeah. Woo! 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 Down, Monkey Man. No, stop. Oh, my arms are sore.
Sorry. I was beating them up with a wheat thresher earlier.
What are the name of the AI that the Quarian created?
The Orwell.
The Geth. The Geth. Say it with me.
The Geth.
Correct.
I remember because I was going to say the Gex.
What is the name of the disease that the Salarians created to mess with the Krogan?
Oh. Oh. Oh, no. He's got such a wicked monkey grin on his face.
I almost locked my jaw. I opened it so wide. You could have fit a football in there.
The Oshbox.
Ow! Wow, that hurt. I'll keep hitting him in the same spot, so I'll slowly burrow into his bone.
You actually drew blood.
Oh, crap, I did.
Whoa.
I'm so good at hitting. I'm such not a violent person.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fine. I deserved it. I got it wrong.
Your knee's just going to be like a dented hellscape. Literally, someone hit you with a baseball bat by the end of
this. I was going to be like, wow.
What happened?
Did you switch knees to a lobster?
Okay. So, Mass Effect 1, Commander Shepard, you are on the Normandy with Admiral Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Admiral. Captain Anderson. He becomes an admiral later.
Anderson
is awesome. Everybody loves Anderson. You're also on the ship with a specter named Nihilus.
Okay.
All the races basically came together on something called the Citadel, which is like a massive space station that nobody made. They just found.
Oh, that's weird.
They don't know who made it. We do know now. You'll learn later. But basically, a huge space station has artificial gravity. It has, like, these wards and stuff. And all the races come together on the Citadel. And the Citadel has a council. And the council has special, like, basically, shadow organization known as the Spectres.
Mm-hmm.
Spectres are, like, the best agents. You know, they're the best at fighting. They're the best at tracking information gathering. They're basically elite agents. one of those specters named Nihilus is on the Normandy with you. Supposedly, the Normandy is a new ship. It's like a brand new top of the line. Sorry.
You're okay. Pickups came back.
Yeah, they're back. It's a brand new top of the line thing that the Alliance fleet made, which are the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, you're just taking on a shakedown run. You're just testing out the system, seeing how well it performs. But Nihilus is there. So Commander Shepard and everybody else on the ship is like, yeah, this ain't no normal shakedown run, but nobody's saying anything.
So is the Citadel like the United Nations of ships?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If the races also lived there, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you go to this world called Eden Prime. Turns out there's like this secret, there's this thing on Eden Prime that you want to pick up. There was a civilization called the Protheans. They're like this ancient race, and it is theorized that the Protheans are the ones that made the Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. They are the ones that made the Citadel.
Okay.
They just assumed that until they knew for sure. But they're extinct. Protheans have been dead for a long time. They're the ones that made the Citadel.
But why did they make it?
We'll get to that later. Maybe. In Mass Effect 3. Probably not, but it's okay. You need to go play the games yourself anyway.
Yeah. My 360 was better.
So you go to Eden Prime because it turns out there is a Prothean beacon on the Eden Prime that they dug up.
Mm-hmm.
The last Prothean beacon that was found... The Prothean beacons are like information things. So basically, you use them and you can get information from the Protheans. The last time they found... Oh, yeah. And the way you travel around the universe, Mass Effect relays, okay?
Oh, wait. The name is actually like...
Mass Effect relays, yes.
Okay.
The Mass Effect relays, basically a ship can fly near it, set their coordinates, and then it'll just... Boom! It'll just basically teleport them across the universe. And the Protheans made those. Oh. No. The Protheans didn't make those. We'll get to that later.
what a twist! These
pickups suck, man. Because I'm talking so fast, they just came back. Anyway, so the last time they thought the Protheans made the Mass Effect relays, and when they found Mass Effect relays, that's what led the humans and all the other races to become like spacefaring and a big deal.
Yeah.
So they're like, we found a Prothean beacon on Eden Prime. This is a huge deal. We're gonna get it, and it's probably gonna jump our technology forward hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
So they make it to Eden Prime and realize. There's a lot of bad juju going on. Apparently the Geth are invading Eden Prime. The Geth, the synthetic, the AIs that the Corians made,
they're
invading. Don't know why. So you fight your way through, you make it a ways. Nihilus goes on ahead of you by himself. Nihilus meets up with someone named Saren, another Spectre. Mm-hmm. They're both Turians, by the way. He meets up with him. Saren shoots him in the back of the head.
Oh.
Turns out Saren is the one that is controlling the Geth, and he is there to get the beacon. So you go try to get to the beacon.
How is he controlling them?
Good question. We get to that, too. Anyway, so you get to the beacon. You get near the beacon, and it, like, picks up Commander Shepard, and you start getting these flashes in your mind. You see, like a destroyed world. You see, like people that are metal and machine and human. Like, you just see these terrifying images that you can't understand. Yeah. It blows up. The Prothean beacon blows up after it gives you all of these images.
No!
Shoot, this is where it gets interesting. You wake up on your ship, your crew took you back, you're fine. I guess I'll just go ahead and explain it out of order because it doesn't matter too much.
Mm-hmm.
Saren is controlling the Geth because Saren is working for the Reapers. The Reapers are the main enemy of the whole series.
Okay.
The Reapers, as it turns out, are a synthetic, like they're AI.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in dark space, like way out where the universe hasn't formed. They live out there.
How do they get there?
Their technology is way advanced.
How are they outside the universe?
Mm.
How do they get there?
There's just like no stars, no planets. It's dark space. So it's just space that has nothing in it.
How do you get there, though?
Shut up.
What spaceship can fly past the universe?
You should edit in something every time I hiccup. Edit in, like, the oof sound from Roblox.
Yeah, that wouldn't get annoying.
Yeah, because the hiccups definitely aren't.
I would say the oof would be more annoying.
Yeah.
But the amount of times you're hicking up, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Anyway. The Reapers, as it turns out, every like 10,000 years or something, they come and destroy everyone. They just kill everybody.
I thought they were AI.
They are.
I thought they just were made. The AI people were just made. So they weren't just made.
Are you talking about the Geth? No. This isn't the Geth. This is the Reapers.
Okay.
Two different people.
Two different AIs.
Who made the Geth?
It's not the Salarians.
They get sick when their suits get punctured.
I know. The Quarians. Yes! Yes!
Oh, yes! Jeez!
It feels nice.
Anyway.
That's fun.
Good job.
See why you like doing it.
The Reapers have been around for a long time. They're like massive, like, tentacle dudes. They look kind of like octopus guys, like squid guys.
They look like octopus, you know, the one.
Yeah, the supervillain Octopus. No, anyway, so every 10,000 years, they come and destroy all intelligent life. So next time they come, they're going to kill the humans, the Asari, the Turians, the Salarians. They're going to kill them all.
But why are they waiting? They can just do it.
Good question. We'll get to that. Basically, the Reapers... Okay, so we'll just go ahead and get into their whole thing. Total spoilers for anyone that actually wants to play the game and doesn't like spoilers.
I
kind of want to
play it.
I don't think you care that much about spoilers.
Why you say that?
You just seem like the type.
Alright.
You do want to play it, though.
Hey, I do.
I got the Legendary Edition on Steam. You get a computer that's worth a dang, and I'll lend it to you. And I'll lend it.
I like console. I like playing on console.
Loser.
I don't care much about graphics. I just like...
I don't care the gram fix. I like the grain play.
I like the grain play.
Yeah, that's Chomping Donkey's flavor. Don't laugh too much. I didn't make that. Great gram fix, great game. Grain play. Grain play.
Yeah, my millionaire. You sound like hotcakes.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money. Oh, I was shot. Oh, okay. A whole hour of just us quoting Donkey.
He's so good, though. Y'all go subscribe to Donkey.
Yeah.
Video game Donkey.
Stop listening to this podcast.
Listen to Donkey.
Go to Dunk Tank.
So, the Reapers, the reason they kill all intelligent life is because they were made by a race known as Leviathans.
Oh.
The Leviathans, they weren't called the Leviathans, though. What were they called? This one's tough. They are never mentioned outside of a DLC in Mass Effect 3.
Because they were like, who made the Reaper? I guess the Leviathans did?
Yeah, the Leviathans. Okay, so they made the Reapers because their technology was immense.
Yeah.
Like, the Leviathans basically ruled the entire universe. Nobody could stand against them, blah, 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 blah. I don't remember why they ended up doing it. But they made it so the Reapers would come and kill all intelligent life every 10,000 years because they believed that if they didn't destroy intelligent life, eventually intelligent life would get so smart that they would end up destroying themselves by trying to do something. Like, they would try to, like, create a black hole or something, and they would just destroy the universe.
So the Reapers were made to destroy the universe so the universe did not destroy itself.
So it would continue, yes. Because they believed, yeah, that if someone got so smart, they would destroy the universe and everything would be over. Including the Leviathans, because they're still alive. They're just hiding.
They are still alive.
They're just hiding. That, you don't learn that until Mass Effect 3. Like I said, spoilers, guys.
Will that ever, like, come up ever?
They fight with you.
What?
You can get them to help you.
Is it like DLC?
Yes.
Okay. What do they look like?
They're huge. They look like squids. And they're like as big as the Twin Towers.
Oh. Why the Twin Towers specifically?
That's a big building I thought of. Empire State Building.
Like, how old were you when, like, 9/11 happened?
Like, four?
So why would you...
No, three.
Why would you pick the Twin Towers?
I don't know. Shut... Get off my back, Ma! I don't know. It's what came to mind.
It's a very confusing thought.
Listen, I don't want to forget. Loser. You would rather forget.
No. I would say... You mean, like, the Freedom Tower that's currently standing there?
No.
Not that
no,
big.
The Twin Tower. Yeah, not the right size.
No, I'm not thinking of one building. They're as big as two buildings.
Right, side by side. big, thick boys.
No. So you're telling me they're squids, but they're like shaped like two rectangles. I just don't know why, out of anything you could have picked.
I don't know. Get off my back. Anyway, they're as big as the Twin Towers. Done. They're that tall, but they look like squids. Anyway, so, yes. So the Reapers kill intelligent life so they will never get so advanced that they'll destroy the universe. But they leave all of the life that's not intelligent. The last time the Reapers came, humans already existed on Earth. They just weren't smart. So they didn't kill them. They don't kill any of the non-intelligent species. They just kill the space-faring ones. The ones that could destroy the universe. And they leave those, so life continues, and then it's a cycle. It's a cycle.
What a useless cycle.
Yeah. Well, I would say so, yeah. But
yeah.
That's what they did.
We exist to only kill the smart people. Only dummies allowed in our universe.
But also, the ones that made the mass relays are the Reapers. The Reapers made the mass relays.
Why?
So
that
people,
makes it easier to do it.
So the races would evolve along the same pathway that they would expect. They have it all planned out, basically. The way they saw it is, like, advancement isn't linear, right? Mm-hmm. Advancement could happen in any way. And if they advance in a way that we don't expect, they could beat us. So they created the mass relays so they would discover them and they would advance along the direction that the Reapers created.
I'm trying to think of a way, like... They're too good as chefs. They're too good at cooking.
Right.
They'll kill us.
They'll cook us for dinner. Yeah.
We learn how to eat robot. No!
Yeah, exactly. Right. They learn how to turn robots into Jell-O.
I don't know. I feel like, it's really hard to think of that. Like, no, they're going to evolve this way. But there's so much different, like, materials on each Earth and each planet. Like, how could every planet still make a space-faring vessel?
It's all the same. It's different, but it's the same.
Like, I came from a planet of salt and piss. And I made a spaceship that's good for Shepard.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Good for Shepard. And I don't know. Jeez. Gosh! Ask Todd Howard.
Todd Howard made Mass Effect?
No.
Then why would I ask him?
I don't know, ask him. You might get an answer.
Mr. Todd Howard, I came from a planet of salt and piss.
Can I make a spaceship?
Can I make a spaceship out of ship? Please!
And he says, I'm Todd Howard. This is my game.
I'm Todd Howard. This is my favorite store. This is
Anyway, so that's what the Reapers do.
Yeah.
Let me see. Crap, where was I?
The Reapers?
Yeah.
They're bad.
Reapers are bad boys. Jerks.
I mean, I get their mindset, but it's a dumb mindset, so I don't get it.
Yeah. The Reapers are really advanced, and the Reapers are coming back. Oh, right. The reason the Geth are following Saren, because Saren is following the Reapers, and the Geth see the Reapers as, like, gods, because they're sentient AI that are, like, hundreds of times more advanced than they are. So, that's why they're following him. Why are the Geth following Saren?
The Geth are following Saren because Saren is following the Reapers. Yeah! You didn't think I was listening, but I was!
You missed.
Oh, jeez!
Don't say I missed.
Oh, okay. Wow, that marker is a deadly weapon.
I can't believe we're playing like Pinochle right now.
Okay, so anyway. So Shepard realizes Saren's up to some bad juju, and he has to go tell the council, like, hey, Saren's doing so and so. It's a big old rigmarole, and you're basically chasing Saren around. That's the entire first game. You find out that there's a matriarch that's helping Saren named, you know, matriarch, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
1,000-year-old matriarch named Benezia. Mm-hmm. You find Benezia's daughter, Liara Tassoni. She becomes, like, the scientist aboard the Normandy. You find Talizora Vasraya? The Korans name themselves like so and so Vas, the name of their ship. So Talizora becomes Talizora Vas Normandy.
Well, what if your ship breaks?
Then, I don't know.
You get a new name?
She's Talizora Vas Wreckage.
My name is Garrett Hande.
Garrett Kia. Garrett Vas Kia.
My name is Trenton BMW.
I have a BMW.
Trenton Rolls Royce.
No. I'm Trenton Vas Honda Accord. 97, baby.
My name is Trenton Vas Honda.
This sounds pretty good, right? Anyway, so you get Talizora, you get Garrus Vakarian, a Turian, he's awesome. You get a Krogan named Erdnot Rex, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. You get a human named Caden Alenko and Ashley Williams. They're both humans.
Then Ashley Williams.
Yeah. Freaking losers. I hate them both.
Just, like, I'm tired of all these freaking humans on my freaking spaceship.
The humans can suck it.
Why are they even there?
Because you're a human. They're from the Alliance. The people that are in charge of you.
It's funny, like, you have all these people, like, who can easily crush, like, humans with their, like, pinky toe. And they're like, but, like, they're just, like, chilling.
Yeah.
Why let them? They're like rats.
Yeah. Let me see. So, yeah, basically you just chase Saren around, blah, 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 blah. You chase Saren to, like, this old Prothean world. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but there's, like, Prothean ruins on there, and it's, like, intense. You go there and basically learn everything he's about to do. You learn that the Citadel is not innocent. The Citadel is actually a mass relay, and Saren's plan is he's going to open the Citadel, activate the mass relay, and allow the Reapers to teleport right into the middle of Council space.
Oh.
And destroy everybody.
But what does he get out of it? He's intelligent.
He thinks the Reapers will spare him if he helps them, which isn't true. But you know,
he's a dummy.
Yeah, he's a dummy. But you kill him at the end. It's fine. Spoiler.
I feel like a proper way for him to die would be like him getting killed by the Reapers.
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, also the Reapers have like mind control, so just being near a Reaper, you'll hear like a ringing in your head, and the longer you're near the Reaper, it's called indoctrination.
Yeah.
The longer you're near a Reaper, the more they will take over your mind. And the ship that Saren uses is called Sovereign. It's a Reaper. It's just an actual Reaper.
What?
That Saren found and activated. So because he rides in that ship, it indoctrinated him over time, and that's kind of
okay,
why.
Okay. So he's just brainwashed.
He's brainwashed.
Well, you could have, you know, led with that.
Well, I didn't, but I could have. Anyway, so you find out that's his plan. He's going to activate the mass relays. The Reapers are going to come destroy everybody. If the Reapers teleport into the middle of Council space, every race, like the leaders of every race, would instantly be destroyed. Their fleets would be destroyed. It would be bad news bears. Well, Shepard is awesome, and Shepard stops that.
With the help of you, the player.
Right.
You too can stop this.
With the help of the hand of God, he stops the Reapers. So the Reapers are still coming, by the way. He stops that happening. The Reapers are still coming. It's just going to take him some more years to get there because they couldn't teleport right into the middle.
Wait. So it was all for nothing.
It gave them time to prepare. So except here's the thing.
Is the end of Mass Effect 1 or 2?
This is Mass Effect 1. Okay. Here's the problem, though. It gave them time to prepare. But the problem is nobody wanted to believe that the Reapers were real. They just assumed. Everybody was like, no, the Reapers aren't real. It's whatever. Sovereign Saren's ship was really impressive, and even if it was a Reaper, it's whatever. We killed it. It's gone. We win. We're good. Stop. And Shepard's like, you guys are idiots! You're absolute fools! So he starts going around trying to prepare for the Reapers by himself. And, you know, because nobody else believes him. The Alliance does believe him, so they've been kind of getting ready. A little bit. But the top leaders of Earth also didn't want to believe him. They don't want to believe that this race of machines is going to come and wipe out all civilizations.
Yeah.
So,
machines are a new thing. Not an old thing.
Basically, when the Reapers do show up, nobody's as prepared as they should be, even though Shepard gave them years to prepare.
I got an MRE with a candle in it.
Yeah, very annoying. In Mass Effect 2, you're not fighting Reapers, you're fighting the Collectors.
Oh.
So, at the start of Mass Effect 2, Shepard dies.
Huh?
Yeah, and Shepard's just dead. Okay, game over.
Okay.
The Collectors, turns out, were basically hired. The Collectors are Protheans. We come to find that out. The Collectors are like these bug people. But okay. It turns out the Reapers indoctrinated the Protheans. The Reapers destroyed the Protheans.
Oh.
They indoctrinated the Protheans, turned them into these bug people known as the Collectors, and now use them to, like, collect races for study.
Okay.
So you're fighting the Collectors.
And so you're fighting also the Reapers?
Indirectly, yes. But you don't know the Collectors are Protheans until later.
Okay.
But right at the start, the Collector, like, mothership shows up, blasts the Normandy out of the freaking sky. Most everybody escapes off the ship, except for Shepard. He gets blown out into space and just dies. He is just dead, and everybody believes he's dead for 2 years.
Okay.
Turns out there's this secret human organization known as Cerberus,
mm-hmm.
And they're basically like a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
They're like anti-alien. They're like human first. Cerberus.
Sounds human.
They know that Shepard can save them, so they recover his body. And they spend millions of credits, which is the universal currency, and 2 years of time putting his body back together and recreating Shepard.
So you're not Shepard anymore.
You are Shepard. You're just... They just... Yeah.
You're not Shepard.
You are Shepard. You're still flesh and blood.
Yeah, but that's you're now an artificial man.
Yeah, in lots of ways, but you still retain the same personality and stuff, because they wanted Shepard. They didn't want a recreation, and they didn't want a robot. They wanted Shepard.
Yeah, you have a corpse. Even if you put, like, a new body for the corpse, and you put a new brain in the corpse, even if you use as much as, like, old material as possible...
No, they revived the things. So, like, the outside skin was, like... burned and frozen and stuff like that, and they use all these like technology and stuff to make the skin come back to life.
But what about the brain though?
Same thing with the brain. They didn't replace the parts, they just revived the parts with like medical miracles.
What if they revived him and then like Shepard like wakes up screaming and it just won't stop screaming?
Oh, gosh. That would suck. That would be stinky.
That would most likely happen.
Maybe.
Like, the brain going through all that trauma, you just can't bring a brain back like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. The rest of Mass Effect 2, Shepard wakes up and he goes out and he tries to take care of the Collectors. Because the Collectors are targeting human colonies. Yeah. Human colonies are disappearing. Tens of thousands of humans are just gone.
Yeah.
Out like a light. And nobody knows where they went. So Shepard has to go and investigate. He realizes, finds out it's the Collectors. People know about Collectors. They're just a mysterious race, apparently, that people rarely deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically... Mass Effect 2 is my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite one. I love Mass Effect 2.
Why do you like it so much?
Because the gameplay was perfection and the story was so fun. Because literally most of the game is you creating the perfect crew. So okay. Cerberus gives you, like, here's a file of an inmate named Jack. Here's a file of a mercenary known as the Archangel. You have to go find these people and convince them to join your crew because you have to make the best freaking crew that's ever been seen to kill the Collectors.
What I've seen from Mass Effect that made me want to play it, but I still haven't, is I like the talking to different crewmen.
Yeah.
And is that, like, the majority of Mass Effect 2 is just, like, talking and doing those little personal missions and stuff like that?
Yeah. A lot of it is, yeah. and you bond with your allies, and if you say the wrong things, they won't like you. And actually, the ending mission, once again, big spoilers, the ending mission for Mass Effect 2, also one of my favorite missions of any game ever.
Yeah.
It's a suicide mission. They don't expect to come back. Everybody's like, we're going in this we're prepared to die. We're going to go to the collector homeworld that no one's ever made it to because it's surrounded by black holes.
Oh.
And we are going to destroy their entire base. Well, the way it works is during the entire mission, it'll be like somebody has to get up into these vents. It's really hot up there. We need somebody with technical expertise that can handle cramped quarters. And then you choose any of your crewmates. Whoa. You choose which one you want to send into the vents. The dialogue changes and that character will do it. If they're not good at tech, they could die. So if you choose the wrong person, that guy will die and you will never see them again in any of the games.
Wow.
It is like a huge, like, heart swelling moment if you're able to keep your entire crew alive.
Does the other Mass Effects, like, will it remember?
You meet them in Mass Effect 3, yeah. All of the characters that are still alive, you will meet them again.
So it's like a Telltale game.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The story will basically be the same in Mass Effect 3, even if, like, for example, Morden Solis is a huge deal in the third game.
Yeah.
He's a Salarian. He can die. If he dies, then it'll just be his, like, apprentice in the third game. But so it doesn't change the story, but Morden's not there. So, yeah, it feels different.
Yeah.
Emotionally. So, but yeah. If you need a tech expert and you don't choose somebody that's good with tech, they'll die. If you choose someone that's good with tech, but they didn't like you, that you didn't earn their loyalty before you started the suicide mission, they'll die.
Oh.
So you have to become friends with all of your crew members, earn their loyalty, and properly use their strengths in each of the parts of the mission for them all to survive.
Whoa.
Super freaking cool.
It is cool.
It's so awesome. Like, at the end, they're doing, like, a standoff. Shepard's, like, handling the leader, and the rest of his crew. He chooses two people to go with him, and the rest of the crew are, like keeping the collectors back while you're doing so-and-so. They're like, we're taking fire! Get out of there! It's, like, freaking hardcore. And at the end, as you're all flying off, the camera will pan over the battlefield, and you'll see the corpses of whoever you failed to save. So, like, oh no, Morden died. Oh, Jack is dead. Audio files.
Trent, I think that was a message from the future. I think that was,
was that my father?
That was your father. And he said you had to stop the podcast or he was going to die.
It sounded like he was already dead.
Well, I think it's because we haven't stopped the podcast yet.
Ah.
So, I think he's currently being tortured right now.
Hey, anyway, I said everything I wanted to do. Mass Effect, fantastic series. Highly recommend anyone that enjoys RPGs or shooters, third-person shooter in general, play it.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 1 is decent gameplay-wise. Mass Effect 2 is just a really freaking competent, like, third-person shooter that's super freaking fun, even if it had no of the RPG elements, none of them. It would still be a great game. But because of all those RPG elements, it becomes, like, one of my top five games of all time for me. I love Mass Effect. Well, I've played it, like, six times all the way through.
Well, maybe that's good for you nerds, but because I'm, like, a big jock, you know?
Excuse me, I'm gonna go drink my muscle milk and suck on my nips, you know?
I'm not gonna do that.
Okay.
But I am going to, you know, go to the gym. I'm going to, you know, pound some brews. And then I'm going to read a book, because I don't need all of this nerd stuff, you know?
I'm going to go read Descartes.
No, I'm going to
pound some iron.
I'm going to read a book that's like, How to Smash Trenton's Mom.
Oh, yeah, you just reminded me of that really good joke that you didn't mean to make in the previous episode.
What?
I was just listening to the podcast before, and you said, my pet peeves episode. I was talking about the sidewalk, and you were like, but you do have a sidewalk. Your neighborhood has a sidewalk. And I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, oh, I was thinking of your mom's neighborhood. Like, he was serious. He really was thinking of my mom's neighborhood. But that was so perfect. was like, what the freak?
Anyway, this has been I'll Give You an Hour.
Yes.
I've been Garrett.
I apologize for my hiccups, and of course they're gone now. Because that just makes sense.
Who are you?
I'm Trenton.
Oh, hey.
I'm Commander Shepard. Commander Truck Shepard.
My name is Truck Shepard.
My name is Truck. I kiss.
Little kiss boy.
Yeah.
My beautiful baby. So yeah, if you need me, or Trenton, you can always talk to us on IgyaPod on Twitter.
Or you can send us an email at I'll Give You an Hour@gmail.com. Still haven't received any emails as far as I know.
Yeah, what's up with that? But what's, you know, up what? With that?
The Adventure Zone.
We're okay? Not the McElroy brothers.
We don't have a podcast empire, and we know nobody's listening.
We're,
so.
Not, we're not the worst idea ever made. We're not I'll Give You an Hour. We're not Sawbones. We're not the Empty Ball.
Calm down, Garrett. Anyway, but those of you that do listen, thank you very much for your patronage.
From the Magic Tavern.
Shut up! I'm trying to have a heart to heart. We know nobody's watching, but for those
we're
that
not goosebuds.
Shut up! For those that are watching, we appreciate your patronage. We hope you enjoy our ridiculous antics. If you got any ideas for us, if you wanna say anything to us, shoot us an email. We'd be super happy to hear from you.
I'm back.
If you want to, we'll even mention your email.
I took insulin. I'm fine.
I tell you right now, the first 10 people to send their email, we'll advertise whatever you want.
No.
Send
no,
us
no,
your
no,
Etsy
no,
store.
No, we won't.
We'll say, you know, go to so-and-so Etsy.com.
We're
right?
Not doing that.
We'll do that.
They could be Nazis. Don't do that.
Well, we just check first.
Well, you just said first 10 people, no matter what, we're going to advertise it.
Oh, right. Well, I guess we got to do it now.
Child trafficking.
Yeah, well.
Child trafficking from a goose licker on Gmail.
Do what you got to do. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys.
If you need me, I will be in the middle of shoving cornbread down an old orphan's throat.
Old orphan?
He's really old.
Strange.
He's not at the orphanage. He's like 80.
Right.
But he is still an orphan.
I guess that's true. If you need me, I'll be, what'll I be doing? I'm just looking at your wall trying to figure out what I'm doing later. I'll probably just go play Mass Effect again.
Yeah?
I have the Legendary Edition. You know, you can get that, by the way. Legendary Edition, it's all the games, all the DLC, in one bundle. And
yeah,
you can get it for like, probably. I doubt it's on the Switch.
Don't say it. I doubt it's on the Switch.
The Switch isn't exactly known for its power.
But it's known for its fun.
Yeah.
This episode's sponsored by Nintendo.
Hey, you want one more hit for the road? And you hit
me once? No. Give me a question. Give me a question first.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
A question on anything. Doesn't have to be just Mass Effect.
What is the name of the strong race that destroyed the Rachni?
The Krogan. Yeah.
Right. Give it to me!
I missed.
I felt the freaking air, though.
Ah! Oh, all right. So now, my question for you.
Okay. All
right. What was...
Jell-O salad.
No.
Okay.
What is the 10th episode of I'll Give You an Hour called?
Ooh.
Yeah, check this to make sure it's right.
Dude, that's impossible.
No, you can do it.
No, I can't. I bet it is... Shoot, the 10th. Eighth was Greek mythology, wasn't it? Spirit science.
Let's see.
Come on. So, I'm going to smack the... I'm going to break your kneecap if I'm right.
Come on. All right, let's see. Oh, one sec, it's not yours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Come on.
8, 9... 10. Nope, it's lethargic. Look at the strange wrestling.
No!
Boom!
Oh!
Thank you for I'll Give You an Hour.
That's so much harder than Krogan.
I'll see you later. Woo!